Well, it's time. I want to remind you that this is KPTZ 91.9 FM right here in Port Townsend, Washington. This is Chris Bricker, and you're listening to Morning on the Salish. And shortly, you're also going to be listening to Siobhan Canty, and she's the president and CEO of the Jefferson Community Foundation. She's going to update us on what we're seeing this week in the community, tell us about services available from our nonprofits, talk about unmet needs and current developments, especially right now here in Jefferson County. Siobhan Canty, welcome to Morning on the Salish once again.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me again.
So, lots going on and some changes afoot, eh?
Yes, indeed. We're all getting ready to move into phase three. It looks like that will happen in the beginning of July. And it's with mixed feelings that I let you know accordingly, we are going to be sunsetting the COVID Response and Recovery Fund. I think it's been a tremendous success on the part of the community coming together to raise over $542,000, $500,000 of which has gone out into our community so far, to make sure that people are safe and supported through these difficult times, particularly people who have been laid off. We're hoping we're going to see folks going back to work. And so we're trying to balance that transition and make sure that we are providing enough support that we can get folks as back to normal as we possibly can in these changing times. And so the fund will be closing on the beginning of July. Final deadlines will be due from nonprofits for response and recovery efforts on July 1. So anyone who wants to apply for the fund should go to www.jcfgives, as in Jefferson Community Foundation, jcfgives.org, and apply by July 1. We'll be accepting donations until July 5th, and then final decisions will be made on July 10th. Now, if we find that as a community we end up having another surge in the virus and we have to go back into a phase two stance, then we're open to the idea of reopening the fund at that time to make sure that folks will still have support. So we're just going to go along with the county government's plan. And I think that there's just so much that this community can be proud of as we do sunset. Everyone came together to make sure that rent and expenses were covered for folks who had been laid off, that we had child care for essential workers, face masks as we reopen. The farmers market is online and has increased benefits for people who need some additional assistance for fresh local food. Just a whole incredible range of supports that were not there only 3 months ago because people came together through the Community Foundation to be agile, responsive, and supportive of those who need it most in our community.
I was going to say that the Jefferson Community Foundation is known for being nimble on its feet. And
that's the benefit of working with the Community Foundation is, you know, when we started this, we just didn't know what was going to happen. And so we set up systems where we were speaking every week to our food providers, our assistance providers. We really kept an eye on where those dollars could make the most impact at that moment as we move forward. And it's a great example, Chris, of the kinds of things we can do together, not just in an emergency like COVID, but as we work on things like housing and childcare and moving our education online. These are all things that change quickly, and we need to be a community that can be flexible and responsive in the moment. And Community Foundation can help make that happen.
So your grant-making team met on the 19th, I believe, and what did they give out that week?
So we gave out $27,500. One new investment was to Habitat for Humanity. They're still having a little bit of a struggle in getting their homes that they were building reactivated because people are still being careful about coming out into public. And so we provided $13,000 for an AmeriCorps volunteer. We continued the Cedar Brook Early Learning Center child care providing for essential personnel. We did another $1,000 to the face mask challenge. A lot of businesses are needing face masks as they prepare to reopen. Mm-hmm. The Recyclery got $3,500 to provide bikes and locks for clients of Dove House. and foster supports and other local organizations, so folks can get around as our transportation system moves back to a paying system. And then finally, another $4,000 to JACIRA to provide rental assistance to folks who are still not working in industries like landscaping and shellfish harvesting and domestic help. So we think that those are going to be the final round of financial assistance grants. We might do one more set on July 10th, but again, hopefully folks are getting back to work and things are getting back to normal.
Siobhan, you've got quite a team with you. You should probably want to give a shout out to those folks.
Grant making team. Incredible. Well, yeah. Thank you for asking, Chris. The grant making team is made up of these incredible women who have had deep histories of leadership in Jefferson County. Meredith Wagner, the former executive director of the Jefferson County Libraries District. Kathleen Clare, the former county commissioner for District 3, Jean Baldwin, former director of health at the Jefferson County Public Health Department, and Rose Lincoln Hamilton, the former CEO of Greater Tacoma Community Foundation and now the chair of the board of Jefferson Community Foundation. What a team. I wish that everyone could have heard their thoughtful and informed debates about where the funding could have the greatest impact that particular week. And they've not only done a wonderful job shepherding the fund, but in the process, they have helped the community foundation grow, too. And we're just so grateful to all of them for their service. I also wanted to just give a quick shout out to the staff, Alicia Kleiner, who's our manager of funds and operations, and Jen Kingfisher, who has done all of the outreach and coordination for the nonprofits who are informing those choices and working together to build a stronger service landscape. They have just been incredible. And again, at no point did we know before, 3 months ago, 3.5 months ago, that we would even have to do this work. And so their willingness to grow into these positions and to really provide thoughtful leadership and a lot of time and passion to this work is so, I'm so grateful. Mostly to the community members, I just want to say thank you for their trust and investment.
A lot of imagination, agility, and growth, and awareness, and new things coming about. What are some of the things that you learned as this unpredictable virus took over our lives here?
Yeah, it's interesting. We have an interesting moment, a snapshot to see where our strengths and weaknesses lie. I would say some of our strengths include definitely our food assistance programs, everything from our food banks to our school meal programs to our local farmers. Our food systems are incredibly strong, and many of our surrounding counties were not able to maintain a steady stream of food assistance, and we were, and I think we should be very proud of that. Also, our financial assistance organizations, OLECAP, Dove House, JACIRA, and St. Vincent de Paul, tremendous work on their part. I think that we did see some weak spots in terms of the childcare system. It was difficult to find sufficient childcare options, particularly right now as people are going back to work and they really need some additional assistance. So that was true before the virus hit, and now it just is more stark that is an absence. Of course, our online education is something that was a blind spot for us when we started this, and we really will continue to work on making that transition for our young people. And housing is continuing to be a challenge for our essential workers. So we're really encouraging folks, if they want to say thank you to the essential workers that helped us get through this today and these last few months, please work for affordable housing for them tomorrow, because they're already being priced out of these rentals. If you have extra space, if you can rent to a local essential worker, a nurse, a teacher, a grocery store clerk, please make your space affordable for them, because they make under market wages for over market rent. So we need to help them out. And then lastly, I would say our dependence on tourism has really been a vulnerability for us. We welcome tourists back. We support the organizations that thrive on those. But we also feel strongly that we need to focus more on our creative entrepreneurs, our local small shops, the sale makers, the artists, the tech folks, the craft manufacturers. We have an incredible community of creative entrepreneurs that we need to trust now. We need to support, celebrate, and resource them so they can be the future of our economic development. And that way, when we have a downturn, if we have a resurgence in the fall, for example, we're not quite as vulnerable to a lack of tourists. We are stronger and more resilient if we support our year-round creative entrepreneurs. So the Community Foundation is proud to be working on some strategies and to be talking with some community partners about how we can do that.
Yeah, and later this week, I'll be speaking with the head of the Jefferson County Chamber, and they're going to be talking about the Jefferson County CARES program or the JEFCO CARES program, and we'll be talking about that. We'll also be talking more with you. We're going to have a special Compass edition coming up at the end of the week, and you and the Chamber will both share the billing there for a special Compass program coming up. So we're looking forward to that.
We have a growing partnership with the Chamber, and we're so pleased to see their work on the JEFCO CARES program and to have some of the masks that were funded by the COVID fund be part of that response. So excited for that conversation, Chris.
And we can't, I don't think that we can ever not say enough about the awareness that our community must have. With regard to affordable housing, I want to reemphasize that there's the affordable housing part. You know, it's hard enough for someone trying to work at a minimum wage job with limited benefits and a family. So there's affordable housing, but there's also the child care and youth needs, and those are lots of things that we've learned over this period of time, over the last 3 or 4 months, about. And online learning, all of those things that you brought up.
All of those relate to our support of working families in our community. And that's not only folks who are working in minimum wage jobs. We want our young people to be able to grow up here, have lucrative and interesting careers, and spend their whole lives here and have a thriving life. And if we're going to be able to offer that opportunity, housing, childcare, online education, these are big things we can all work on together. And yes, housing, everyone can do something. If you're curious about what the housing landscape looks like here in Jefferson County, you can go to housingsolutionsnetwork.org. It provides a landscape picture of all of the organizations and efforts that are happening around affordable housing, some ideas about how each person can contribute whatever they have to the effort to support working families, and find out how to make a meaningful contribution of either finances, time, skill, whatever you have to give. We can all do something to support our working families.
No, there's just an amazing, vibrant resource out there, and if they're in the form of our high school students here in Jefferson County, and if anything showed their organizational capabilities and their intellect and their feeling for their fellow human beings, it came out in some of the peaceful demonstrations that happened this week that were organized by ninth graders.
I'm so grateful that you brought up the young people in our community. They are truly remarkable. And we have to remember they sacrificed a lot to keep those of us who are a little older and more vulnerable to the virus safe. You know, they sacrificed their graduations. They sacrificed seeing their friends. And not only that, they found ways to organize, to support their values in our community, not only around Black Lives Matter, but around environmental issues. They are really picking up the mantle in terms of leadership and social change at a time when obviously our world needs it. So congratulations to all of the young people who graduated recently and to those who continue to fight for changed systems that benefit the people and the planet. here. I'm so grateful to all of them.
Well, Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of the Jefferson Community Foundation, once again, thank you so much for a delightful conversation. And we will get together this week for our special Compass episode. We'll put that together, and we will talk to you soon.
Great. Thanks, Chris, and thanks to KPTZ.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.